2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
A federal judge issued an order on February 16th requiring the Apple Computer Company to produce software for the FBI that can unlock the iPhone used by one of the deceased terrorists who killed 14 people and wounded 22 at a holiday party at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California, on December 2nd last year. The order does not ask Apple to break the phone's encryption, but rather to disable the iPhone's feature that deletes all data on the phone after a user enters an incorrect password 10 times. In explaining Apple's decision to defy the court order, the company's CEO, Tim Cook, said such a step would dangerously weaken iPhone security. Once created, Cook maintained, the technique could be used over and over again on any number of devices. In the physical world, it would be the equivalent of a master key, capable of opening hundreds of millions of locks, from restaurants and banks to stores and homes. Cook went on to say, opposing this order is not something we take lightly. We feel we must speak up in the face of what we see as an overreach by the U.S. government. Instead, Cook says, the government should withdraw its request and appoint a commission to explore the issues of security and privacy. Your reporter spoke with Joseph Lorenzo Hall, chief technologist with the Center for Democracy and Technology. Here he talks about his group's support for Apple's refusal to unlock the iPhone and build a backdoor that can be used for surveillance by law enforcement or exploited by hackers.
What the FBI is asking for is for Apple to create a new version of their iOS operating system. Essentially, you can think of that as FBIOS instead of iOS, which is the term that Apple calls its operating system, and produce a version that doesn't technically defeat the encryption that the iPhone and other Apple iOS devices use. It's actually quite strong, but instead sort of messes around with the glue that keeps the encryption pieces together and sort of what makes it much easier to not have to use the encryption, so to speak. So if you think of it as encryption as a door that you can lock to protect the stuff on your phone, they're asking Apple to sort of weaken the frame that the door stands in, so to speak. And in this case, the thing that troubles a lot of us, on the one hand, is a company being sort of forced by the government to create a tool of surveillance, a version of the operating system that doesn't have the protections that the normal version does, specifically for eavesdropping. And we're concerned with a number of things. For example, if this thing were to get out and it not be properly controlled so that it only ran on that one phone, that one horrible person's phone who killed a bunch of people, that, you know, that if this were to get out, that potentially this could be used on any number of the hundreds of millions of iOS devices. And more importantly, this means that the regular investigations, so not national security or terrorism investigations, will now be potentially, those kinds of techniques could be used on a whole number of other devices. And so you can imagine the Googles, the Facebooks of the world being required to hand over data that they never actually possessed, but they created specifically for the government to aid in either criminal investigations or other kinds of surveillance activities.
Joseph, is there any room for compromise here in your view where Apple, for example, could extract the data from this particular phone used by this alleged terrorist and not give the FBI a backdoor to all of its smartphones?
When it comes to compromise, Apple has cooperated quite a bit with this investigation, very willingly. You know, the people who run the compliance departments at these companies really want to see things work out in the sense that, you know, have people, have agents get the data they need to investigate these hard cases. The trick here is that, you know, this kind of thing is going to be used not only in those kinds of cases, but many, many other cases. And so when it comes to compromise, I think we've gone a little past that to the point where, you know, we want to make sure that everyone can know that if, you know, you send a message on an iOS device and it's blue, you know, I tell people if it's blue, that means you're protected, and the only keys that reside that can you know, decrypt that individual message lie on your phone and the other phone in the communication. And that gives people quite a bit of confidence to use that for a variety of things. And unfortunately, if there is a compromise that results in many phones becoming transparent to law enforcement in the future, people are going to stop using these devices for more important things in their life, like intimate activities, like, you know, finance and health kinds of things. And that's really some of the things we worry about in the scope of compromise.
Well, just a final question. Apple CEO Tim Cook has called on the FBI to withdraw its demand for a backdoor to iPhone encryption and instead participate in a national commission to debate the issues of privacy and security and to take on some of the difficult issues here in this case with the iPhone and connected to the San Bernardino massacre.
Here, a lot of us have been saying, look, let's not talk so much or spend our time, wasting our time, frankly, these very, very heavy-duty legal cases and these deep, deep technical questions that are very, very hard to explain. And instead, you know, we should spend our time thinking about, you know, what are the police going to do and the intelligence agencies of the world going to do when the world is increasingly ubiquitously encrypted or, you know, just very complicated kinds of things. That's what we need to spend time on, not trying to sort of preserve the vestiges of the past in terms of, you know, wiretapping and putting two little alligator clips on a copper phone line to listen in on bad guys. You know, bad guys, the sophisticated bad guys, know what they're doing. They know how to avoid these things. And so having a really deep investigation, discussion, commission, whatever you want to call it, into alternatives getting access to this information and the kinds of capabilities that our law enforcement entities are going to need increasingly in the future to be able to combat crime. That's where we want to spend our time, not things that hanging in the balance is, you know, the potential insecurity of hundreds of millions of people in their phones.
That was Joseph Lorenzo Hall, chief technologist with the Center for Democracy and Technology. Find more perspectives on Apple's defiance of the court order to unlock the iPhone used by a deceased terrorist in the San Bernardino massacre by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.